WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Number two of the program here on Thursday morning, the first program of 2025. And thanks to everybody who sent out Happy New Year wishes to everybody over here at the station. We send them all right back to you. Hope that your 2025 is already starting off well. Of course, we had the unfortunate news to bring you this morning of the what is now being described as a terror attack in New Orleans. And the incident in Las Vegas still under investigation. And we can talk about that and more. I did give you the programming note in the last hour, but I'll keep reminding folks of that throughout the course of the morning, that starting today, the Howie Carr Show is moving from, their broadcast is moving from 3 to 7 to 2 to 6. And as a result, because, you know, we still got Barry on from 2 to 3, we will have, we'll be joining the Howie Carr Show in progress. So you'll miss the first hour of the Howie Carr Show here on WBSM, but you can always catch it later on the podcast they post up at HowieCarrShow.com and wherever you get your podcast from. But then at 6 o'clock, we will have a Best of Howie Carr hour for you each night from 6 to 7 before Mark Levin starts at 7, as we are looking at some options of what we can do with that hour. So this way here, you know, you'll still be able to hear Howie Carr live. We could have carried it on a delay, so you would have been able to hear the whole show, but then you wouldn't have been able to call in and interact. And we determined that because so many folks call in locally to Howie, that we wanted to make sure that we carried it live instead of on delay, so that you can be able to call and interact with Howie and all of the other great folks that sit behind the microphone, including our own Taylor Cormier. I know he's not our own anymore, but I like to think of him as our own. He's our WBSM plant at the Howie Carr Show Studios. So the change starts today, so you'll be able to hear it from 3 to 6, then a best of hour from 6 to 7, and if you want to hear that first hour, you can get it from the podcast. If I thought there was a way that they could get me the show fast enough that we could program it in and run the first hour from 6 to 7, I would, but I don't want to put that kind of pressure on Taylor and everybody over there. They've got too much going on as it is. So we can take your phone calls here, 508-996-0500. As I said, we are keeping an eye on the news to see what information comes about from the investigation into what happened in New Orleans. But what we know of right now, 15 people dead as a result of that pickup truck driving into people. Could have been far worse had the IED that was in the truck and the ones that were found around the French Quarter actually gone off. And if you've never been to New Orleans, it's a tightly packed area. The French Quarter is, I mean, just even on a regular night, not even on New Year's Eve, and I know this was, you know, early in the morning, but you've also got to think, too, that area, that neighborhood is busy no matter what time. I don't think there's ever a quiet time on Bourbon Street. And as I said, that area is very tightly packed. So there's not that much space from one street to another to another. And had there been something that had gone off, it would have done significant damage in that whole area, with businesses, with homes, apartments, hotels. And we're not talking about buildings that are, these are buildings that are, you know, over 100 years old, probably 200 years old at this point. So we're dealing with, you know, older structures that definitely would not have withstood what would have happened there. So it could have been far worse when it comes to loss of life had those devices actually gone off. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Morning, Tim. Happy New Year.
To you as well.
So, talking about the terrorist attacks, the one in New Orleans and the one in Las Vegas, there is a tie. And the tie is they were both in the military. They were both in the Army. And they both were at Fort Bragg.
So it's possible they could have known each other.
Oh, very, very possible. Very possible. The one was from Colorado Springs. I'm seeing reports. His name was Matthew Livelsberger. And it looked like he was a special op Green Beret, at least the initial reports coming out. So, you know, we seem to have a big problem in our military. If you remember Fort Hood, the shooter out there, he was another Islamic terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that the operations of the caliphate, if you want to talk about that, but the operations of that is they just lay in wait and literally can wait decades before acting. Now, I don't know if the guy from Colorado Springs is, you know, inspired by ISIS, like the one in New Orleans was, but I do find it very concerning that these guys were both in the same area, in the same fort, you know, Fort Bragg.
So are you suggesting that this is something that might have been planned years in advance, and that they were just waiting for the opportunity, or is that what you're saying?
I mean, I'm looking at what's happening, and what I find very, very concerning is this happens a week after the German attack in a Christmas festival out in Germany, I guess,
mm-hmm.
where somebody just ran in and started just plowing down people with another vehicle. And then a week later, it happens in New Orleans. And immediately after this, we see a lot of protests that are in favor of the Palestinian-Gaza-Israel crisis. You know, we see that, I think it was in Toronto. I definitely saw it in New York City. On the same day, it's everything kind of melded together really well, almost like everything was pre-planned, from the protests to the attacks.
See, I've considered it more of because, and why there's a link to these folks that are in the military is because they're the ones that are always on the lookout and learning about groups like ISIS, that when they get despondent, you know, that's something that they know, and an ideology that they have studied that can kind of worm its way into their brain. So when they get despondent, then they start to think to themselves, well, gee, maybe they've got the right idea, you know, because everything sucks so bad. Maybe they are right about things. And that's what kind of helps to radicalize them. I've never thought about it being something more that was, you know, a sleeper agent that's just waiting for the right opportunity.
Yeah, what I do find odd is the Colorado Springs guy, the Las Vegas bomber. The only thing, I mean, obviously he's not of a Muslim descent or Arab descent. I mean, I think the guy's Livelsberger, that sounds German or something out there in Europe. But that really doesn't matter. Because you can be Islamic and be, you know, from Ireland, you know, that doesn't matter. But yeah, it's just extremely concerning. We see this leading up into an inauguration of a president. They use our calendar of big events against us, and they use our freedoms against us, you know, freedom of movement, freedom of speech. They use that against us. And my fear is that as we lead up into the inauguration in the next 20 days, there could be other instances.
Well, let's hope that there aren't. But I think the big concern here is, like you said, you know, figuring out what these links are between them so that they can utilize that to see if there's a network. You know, they've got to find these other people that they think that were involved in New Orleans as well, because they need to find out how far reaching this is.
So the other thing that they actually also read, again, this is all preliminary, just stuff that I'm reading online, which we know how not reliable that is sometimes. That they both rented the vehicles that they used from the same app, Turo or Truro, which is basically, Tim Weisberg can actually rent your own vehicle to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a, I don't know, like a...
It's like an Airbnb for cars,
For your car. So that's what they're using. And they both used it, and they're both from the same neighborhood, you know, the same fort in the same military branch. It all kind of connects very well together that I find very suspicious.
Yeah.
So, and then like you were saying, there are definitely other actors, because they said that they were looking for like three men and a woman out in New Orleans that were planting potential pipe bombs in places. So there's a lot still going out there. And the other thing is, you know, be very careful of what you believe online. The preliminary reports coming out were that the guy from New Orleans was an illegal immigrant that crossed in Eagle Pass. That turned out to be absolutely false. So as more information comes out, unfortunately, the way a lot of media is right now, it's they have to get it out first in order to get the clicks, rather than being right first. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And in the absence of information, you know, rumor becomes enough for a lot of people.
Yeah. And it gains traction. Like the rumor becomes the fact, unfortunately, before it can get corrected.
Well,
that's what a lot of people end up believing.
That's why we try to stick to trusted sources, but even, you know, trusted sources can be misled sometimes. So it's,
I agree.
You get that. All right, you have a good day. Yeah, you get that vacuum of information, and people are just looking to fill it because not so, and I don't think it's necessarily just about wanting to be first to have the information. It's just about wanting to have something to provide answers to the questions. So you're just looking for any place where there might be an answer, and you say, well, some reports are saying, and by doing that, you end up putting out false information. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
I just want to, it's a tragic bunch of events here, and let's hope this doesn't, hope it gets better. And but just want to wish you a happy new year. I know it's the second of the year, and so I wish you the best on this, put on a good show. I just want to say about this change with Howie Carr and Barry Richards. Where's Barry Richards? Only going to be on 2 hours now?
No, he's going to keep his regular show. He'll be on until 3, so we'll just join Howie, you know, already in progress.
Oh, okay. So it's going to be the same thing. I was just curious about the change in timing. Well, I hope you have a good year, Tim.
You as well.
Bye-bye.
And the caller brings up a great point. It makes me think of that episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. You know, what is the cutoff date for telling somebody Happy New Year? And so there was a whole episode about that in which, you know, Larry thinks that after like a certain day, you shouldn't have to say Happy New Year to somebody. And I've always kind of held the feeling that at least through the month of January, the first time you talk to somebody, it's okay to say. So I don't mind it at all. And plus, we need all the good tidings for 2025 that we can get, because 2024 was a rough one. And 2025 is already shaping up to be challenging. So the more goodwill we can get out there, the better off we'll be. 508-996-0500. So just as I, you know, was mentioning earlier, just to reiterate, so Barry's hours were not going to change. Barry's show is going to stay exactly the same. But we will have 1 hour less of the live Howie Carr show every day. We're going to be carrying Howie from 3 to 6. Because Howie's now going to end at 6. And then from 6 to 7, we'll have a best of Howie. We're looking at some different options for that 6 to 7 time slot. And unfortunately, one of them won't be getting that first hour of Howie in time to program it in, and I can't always guarantee that I'd be around to do that in the afternoons. So we're looking at some different options. But for now, you'll get a best of Howie from 6 to 7, and then Mark Levin from 7, and then Charlie Kirk at 10. Like, so everything else is going to stay the same. And as I mentioned, you know, we thought about shifting Howie to a delay, but if we did that, then you wouldn't be able to call in live, and we know that that's a big draw for a lot of folks listening to Howie, to be able to call in and interact with Howie and his, and the audience. So, and Jeff in New Bedford says, Turo is just a peer-to-peer car rental. I don't think there's any connection there, except that it's the most convenient way to rent a car. And especially, I would think, you know, on a holiday time when people are traveling and there's probably a ton of car rentals that are happening during the week between Christmas and New Year's, it's probably hard to get a rental from, say, you know, Budget or Avis or Enterprise or any of those companies. So this might have been the opportunity to just be able to get something. So, yeah, I think calling that a link between the two, while it certainly is a possibility that it is that they're still linked together, you know, I guess that would be like saying, you know, two people that both rented Airbnbs carried out terrorist attacks. Well, that doesn't mean anything. You know, they just probably couldn't find a hotel room, so they went to Airbnb to find a place. Or they, again, I guess it doesn't matter if you want to save money or not. Also, keep in mind, we know that the perpetrator of the attack in New Orleans had credit issues. So he might not have been able to go to an Enterprise or an Avis or something like that to rent a car. So he might have had to use an app like this to, just to be able to get his hands on something. So that's just another thing to consider. 508-996-0500. We are taking your calls and thoughts on those attacks that happened, the one in New Orleans and the one in Las Vegas. Thankfully, as the reporting came out during the course of the day yesterday, we were able to realize that what happened in Hawaii was not related to these terrorist activities. That was just fireworks gone bad. And hopefully we didn't have a lot of those incidents on a local level of fireworks gone bad. But I heard a lot of fireworks going off over the last couple of days. And that's going to continue on because basically people will have more fireworks that they held on to that they're going to keep firing off over the course of the next couple of days. And then maybe we'll get a respite until at least Memorial Day, right? Never understood that. Never understood the need to go and buy these things and spend all kinds of money so you can set them off yourself. What's the point? It's literally just burning money. That's why I never understood smoking. Because, like, to me, that's just dollar bills that you're burning up. I was watching, because I was sick and I wasn't really up for doing much, I was just kind of sitting watching TV over the last couple of days, and I started watching that show Heels that's on Netflix. It's originally a Starz show, but I don't know what took me so long to watch it, but it's a show about a independent wrestling company. It's a, you know, fictionalized show. But I was like, everybody on this show smokes. And the thought in my head was, what does that add to the production costs? To just have characters that smoke in a scene that's unnecessary, but you're buying packs of cigarettes for them to smoke? I mean, if I was an actor and they're like, and your character smokes, and we need you to smoke in the scene, I would be like, well, do we really? Like, is it necessary? Maybe they're making fake cigarettes so they don't have to smoke real ones, but still, like, is that necessary? Do we need to portray? Like, we know what these people are. We know, we get their characters. Do we need to see them smoking too? Anyway, 508, speaking of smoking now, the Rhode Island flavored vape ban is now in effect. So if you've been going over the border to get your flavored vapes after Massachusetts banned them, they now are banned in Rhode Island as well. So you're going to have to, you have to take a longer drive to be able to get them. And again, Rhode Island banning them for the same reason Massachusetts did, because they felt like flavored vapes was just marketing it to children. I don't know about that per se, but certainly it made it more attractive to children, or to kids who are not old enough to smoke, not old enough to make that decision. But as I said before, you know, I was somebody that was for that ban, but I've reconsidered it because I do agree with keeping it out of the hands of young people, but I've started to reconsider whether or not you want to allow adults who are of age to do things, whether or not, you know, it should be up to them whether or not they want to do things. And if there's no, you know, if you either ban all cigarettes or and ban all vaping or don't ban any. So I don't know. It's an evolving opinion. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. We're going to get an update on all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt. And then when we come back, we can take more of your calls. 508-996-0500. Take it away, Phil Devitt.
An act of terror in New Orleans. A fond farewell to Jimmy Carter. And protecting yourself against norovirus.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
At least 10 people are dead and dozens injured after a vehicle drove into a crowd on New Orleans' famous Bourbon Street. The FBI says it's investigating the event as an act of terrorism. A truck plowed into a group of people celebrating New Year's in the French Quarter early New Year's morning, and the driver, Gannaut, started firing a weapon with police returning fire. The suspect is dead, has been identified as Shamsuddin Jabbar. Fox News reports others may have also been involved in the attack. The FBI is in charge of the investigation and also looking into possible explosives found at the scene. President Biden says he's grateful for the brave and swift response from law enforcement in New Orleans. He said his Homeland Security team has briefed him on the deadly incident that saw a truck plow through a crowd. Biden's directed his team to ensure every resource is available for the city. He added his heart goes out to the victims and their families who are simply trying to celebrate the holiday. Biden ended his statement by saying, quote, there's no justification for violence of any kind, and we will not tolerate any attack on our nation's communities. Two men are injured in separate New Year's Day subway stabbings in Manhattan. Both attacks happened about 9:30 in the morning. Police say in the first, the attacker didn't like the way a rider looked at him. They argued, and cops say he knifed the 30-year-old in the head, side, and hips. In the other attack, a 31-year-old man was stabbed in the back on a train in Greenwich Village. Both of the suspects are male and fled on foot. The victims reportedly are in stable condition. Police have descriptions of the men's surveillance video and are on the hunt. The nation preparing to say a final goodbye to former President Jimmy Carter. A series of formal events will begin January 4th in Plains, Georgia, culminating with a service at Washington National Cathedral on January 9th. Carter's remains will then be transported back to Plains for a public motorcade route and private funeral service. Health experts say with a surge of norovirus across the country, it's a good idea to be prepared in case you get it. Dr. Bruce Hirsch, an infectious disease specialist at Northwell Health, tells the New York Post to make sure you've got Pedialyte or sports drinks on hand to stay hydrated. That's because norovirus typically causes severe vomiting and diarrhea that lasts 1 to 3 days. Other doctors say having Imodium around to treat diarrhea and an anti-nausea drug like Zofran are helpful. You'll need to eat too, so health experts recommend bland food like plain rice or pasta and avoiding dairy products. Frequent hand washing with soap and water is important, but most doctors say hand sanitizers don't do much good against norovirus.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly cloudy and gusty today, a high of 39 degrees here on the South Coast. On Friday, mostly sunny, windy as well, with a high of 36 degrees. For the weekend, clouds return along with the wind. On Saturday, a high of 32 degrees, a high of 28 degrees on Sunday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
In a little bit of the sweet this morning here, and you probably had some sweets to celebrate New Year's Eve and maybe even New Year's Day, and now you're saying to yourself, well, gonna get to the gym today, new year, new me. And a lot of people are gonna have that idea, so keep that in mind when you go to the gym. It's probably gonna be packed, but don't let that be discouraging. You know, even if you can't get to the gym or if you can't get to the machine that you want, it's not that bad of a day. Get out there and take a walk, right? You just deal with the wind. You'll be okay. It'll motivate you to walk faster. But I got some snacks, you know, as I said I was going to do. I went over to the Stop and Shop here when I left and picked up some. They had the, TGI Fridays frozen appetizer things on sale for $3.99. So I got some potato skins, some jalapeno poppers, and some mozzarella sticks. And they're kind of single serve sizes, so I was like, that's going to work out well. And I knew I wasn't going to eat them all, so I, you know, put them all in the air fryer, not together, did them all separately. And I ate like two mozzarella sticks, two jalapeno poppers, and two potato skins, and that was it. Saved the rest. Actually, they're still in the fridge. But that was my New Year's Eve feast for myself. And I said, oh, I'll stay up and I'll have a few drinks. And nope, didn't make it. Zonked out around, I don't know, 9 o'clock in the chair, and woke up at midnight, which was odd. Just like happened to open up and look at my phone and say, oh, it's midnight. Posted my annual U2 New Year's Day video that I posted midnight, and then fell right back asleep in the chair. Woke up at 4 a.m., made my way to the bed, stayed in my bed from 4 a.m. to 4 p.m., minus a couple of trips to get up and use the restroom, but that was my New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So I think, you know, the cold has not been bad, you know, knock on Formica, but I think it certainly took me out of the running for having any kind of New Year's fun. But I had work I had to do, and I couldn't even get myself to like sit in front of the computer and do some work. So now I'm behind. That's all right. 508-996-0500. I hope that you had a great New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and now you're ready to take on 2025 head on. And if you are someone who made resolutions, I hope that you're able to stick to them. I did see a lot of folks posting on social media, you know, the results of their resolution from the beginning of 2024. And that's one good thing about posting these things online is it gives you some sense of responsibility and accountability for what it is that you say you're going to do. So as I've said before, you know, when I started my whole weight loss journey, I did not plan on posting about it at all. But a couple of things made me change my mind. One, I started losing weight pretty quickly. And my concern was that if I started, you know, if there happened to be photos of me online, I was going to start to get a lot of messages from people asking me if I was sick. And at the time, I wasn't. At the time, I didn't have cancer. I didn't know that I had cancer if I did. So I didn't want to have people reaching out thinking that there was something wrong with me. And then the other part of it was accountability. I figured if I just put it out there, because I had never talked about weight loss before, I had never tried to hold myself accountable online before. And by doing it, at least I knew people had seen it. And if I didn't follow through, maybe they'd be judging me. And I know you shouldn't do this thinking about what other people think, but still, that's kind of the way that I approached it. And now, you know, I'll put photos up every now and then to just kind of keep track of things, and that keeps me accountable. And it's a motivating factor too. When you put up a photo and people are like, hey, you look great. How much are you down now? You know, like that helps too. Especially when you get to the point where I've been, where you're kind of in a little bit of a lull in the weight loss. You know, I've kind of evened out a little bit, and I might fluctuate up and down a pound or two. But I also haven't put a lot of serious effort into it. So maybe new year, new me, I'll do it. I hate that phrase, by the way. But maybe I'll do it. One thing I have to do is eat more protein. And to eat more protein, I'm going to be making a lot more visits to the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, because that's where you can get everything that you want to put on your plate, whether it be some delicious fish and seafood options, whether it be their big juicy steaks, prime cuts, choice cuts, whether it be chicken breast, whether it be their homemade linguiça, chorizo, some of their great casserole that they make every day. I guess even now and then I can splurge and have a little bit of extra carbs and get one of their delicious meat pies. But they've got everything that you possibly need there for all of your protein needs, but also all of your regular grocery needs as well. It's an old school neighborhood market in addition to being a butcher shop. So you can walk around and get all the different items that you need, including going down into the beer and wine cellar and stocking up for the game tonight. And for the final NFL regular season games this weekend, right? Patriots are going to mercifully have their season come to an end. So you can celebrate with some wine or beer from the butcher shop and get yourself some of their big jumbo wings to snack on during the game. But don't get buffalo wings. Get one of their other great flavors. Because you don't want to be supporting buffalo at all, right? That's who the Patriots are playing? No. Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. Whatever you like to get for wings, they have them there. It's all available at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Stop in and see them and get the new year started right with something delicious from the Butcher Shop. All right, let me take my next break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in 508-996-0500, and we've got another interesting story that comes out of the Cape. This comes from WCVB. A man accused of firing a high-powered air gun at tree workers in Marson's Mills is scheduled to appear in court today. Kyle Stacey, he's 34 years old, of Marson's Mills, allegedly shot the rifle at workers on Tanbark Road on Tuesday morning. So on the morning of New Year's Eve, police said they were called to the area for reports of a bullet hole in a home's window. About 30 minutes later, police received a 911 call stating that there was a person shooting what appeared to be a rifle at tree workers. When officers arrived, they made contact with Stacey, who retreated into his home. Members from the Cape Regional SWAT team, Barnstable Police Canine Unit, and Barnstable Detective Unit responded to the scene. Police said Stacey refused to comply with multiple requests to exit the residence. However, he eventually did and was taken into custody. So a search warrant executed at the residence recovered a quantity of 30 caliber projectiles, firearm cleaning tools, and several air guns, including a Vulcan 3 30 caliber air gun with an attached scope. Police said that gun has the capability to fire both 25 and 30 caliber lead projectiles up to a velocity of 1,000 feet per second, utilizing compressed air. Stacey was charged with assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, vandalism, and resisting arrest. He is scheduled to be arraigned in Barnstable District Court today. So I guess he probably didn't like the fact that these workers were out there working. That he decided to start shooting at them with an air rifle. And those air rifles are pretty powerful. As the police described there, they're pretty powerful and they can do some damage. Well, they're not lethal. They certainly can do some damage. And the fact that somebody is just firing these at tree workers with no, you know, it's one thing if you hit them. It's another thing if you knock them out of the tree. Then it becomes a fatality. So just a dumb thing to do. And certainly glad that he eventually turned him, you know, allowed the police to take him into custody. But he'll be arraigned today in court and we'll see what comes of that. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Barry also has an article for you to check out today at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app about the plans to memorialize Ruth, the Asian elephant who passed away on December 27th. And we knew, of course, that she had entered hospice care about 6 months before. And that it was only a matter of time before she would eventually pass on. And so Barry reached out to find out, you know, what exactly is the city planning? From my understanding, Ruth was buried near the elephant area. And that will be where she will remain, but that won't remain an elephant area. Once Emily passes, which hopefully won't be for a while, but of course the staff is going to keep an eye on her now with the loss of her beloved companion. But when she passes away, Buttonwood Park Zoo will no longer have elephants. They're not going to seek new elephants to replace Ruth and Emily. So there is a plan to have a public memorial. The zoo had been closed for a few days to allow everybody to mourn. I think it reopens today. But there will be a more public event planned for the spring. And you can read more about that at Barry's article at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And we got a lot of feedback from people, both in the comments on Facebook and in app chat and everything, who were, you know, definitely moved by this loss. And even though we knew it was coming, still saddened by this loss, and she was a big part of people's lives. I mean, there's folks now who have been going to see her their entire life who are now bringing their own children to Buttonwood Park Zoo. Think about that. She came here in 1986, almost 40 years ago, which means there's generations of people who have only known that she lived here in New Bedford. There are generations of people out there now bringing their own kids and maybe even grandkids to the zoo. And that's a long time to have an animal that became symbolic of the zoo and of the city. And now it's only proper that the city will get a chance to collectively say goodbye and honor Ruth. So that'll be forthcoming. And of course, we'll keep you up to date with all the details, but you can read more about it at Barry's article at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. I'm going to take my final break of this hour, and we'll be back in a few moments.
There's a world outside the darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. With a brave, heart, free, lover's soul, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate, break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
And today's probably not too bad of a day to ride that highway, but I would assume that once Monday comes around, traffic is going to get worse. Although I've been keeping an eye on it throughout the course of the morning, and you get some traffic backups, but it's not everybody's back to work yet. Some folks still plan their vacation time, although it's tough, right? Because it's a new year, so you don't really have the vacation days in the new year. Anyway, we're going to take a break for the news here coming up. When we come back on the other side, more with you, 508-996